You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Friday morning in Titletown, USA. Once again, we got a text contest going for two tickets to Frank's Productions. Let me be Frank Productions for the Abrams family. Total rushing yards for the Green Bay Packers. Total rushing yards for the Green Bay Packers against Tennessee on Sunday. This is our favorite part of the week. It is throwback on Football Friday. Courtesy of Burkle's, one block over, and we have a great young man on the phone right now by the name of Matt Brock. Hello, Matt.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Good. Not that young anymore, but yes. Doing great.
Hey, we were talking the other day about the start of Breakfast with the Boys with Murph. Were you the very first host?
I think I was. I think it was called Breakfast with Brock.
Oh, okay.
To start with. And then the boys came up with, I think, Jerkovic.
Okay.
Jerkovic. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how it happened. So, yeah, I was the, as they would call it, say, the OG, I think.
OG! We got former mayor Jim Schmidt here, and we've got Dennis from the Glam Band, who, by the way, was the, they're unbelievably popular around here. I don't know if you know about them, Matt, at all, but they did a concert at the Stadium View after the game the other day. And a certain guy that was in the audience asked if he could come up and sing. And Dennis, why don't you say hello to Matt and tell him who your friend was that came up to sing with you guys.
Good morning, Matt. It's an honor to speak with you this morning.
Oh, thank you.
This is awesome. He started out as number five on your Green Bay Packers roster and decided to go to number seven.
Oh, Murkowski?
Yeah, it's the one.
He actually got his fame singing?
He tried.
Again.
I forgot the words.
It was awesome.
Yeah, if he'd have been on pitch and remembered the words, he would have been awesome.
Don was great.
He was great.
He came out doing a Hootie and the Blowfish song. It was like, how do we finish this? Like, I don't know the words. Then we went to a standby and whatnot. The crowd just went crazy. They could have body passed him, you know, from here to the river. You know, it was just amazing.
Well, they love him. It's probably a good audience to try out your vocals on, especially if you've played there. They'd be receptive.
And it was 90 degrees that day. Everybody been drinking all day.
Yeah, and Lambeau Field actually ran out of water. Didn't run out of beer, but they ran out of water.
Are you serious? Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
That was a big story.
I missed that. I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Matt. It was hot, though. What, it was in like 88 or something?
Hot.
It was pretty hot that day.
Hey, Matt, we got to say one thing, though, and just going back to your era, I mean, you know, the guys now, they're cool, they're great, they're all professional, whatever. But there was never an era, or there will never be another era, like you guys, how you guys hung together, the families, the wives, the whatever. What a camaraderie you guys had in that era, didn't you?
Yeah, it was pretty special. I mean, one of the reasons it was special is just because there was no cell phones.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of pictures and recordings of things. And, it was, you know, we're a pretty tight group and, you know, most of our wives were, you know, friends and we just hung out with each other all the time. There wasn't a whole lot of distraction away from the team concept on and off the field.
You know, Matt, Jim Schmidt, we were talking with some of the people who covered you, right? The sports guys, and talking about just the changes in the NFL, and everybody talks about, oh, the stadiums, the salaries, this and that. But social media was one of the biggest changes from, and it hasn't been that long, but it just has changed so much for everyone and everything,
especially guys in the spotlight like
right,
this.
Yeah. Right.
The social media and all that changing. I mean, hell, could have got paid more, been more popular, and had your face known a little bit more.
I think some of them, that's their angle. But
geez,
yeah.
You could have had that in college with NILs and everything.
But, yeah, but, absolutely.
But I don't know that the camaraderie is the same today as it was when you were playing. You know what I mean? And I think it's because of that. I think that's part of it, is
no
that
question.
Social media that's taken
I mean, you guys
apart.
Could go to a Nicky's or whatever on a Thursday
right.
night, and nobody would pass you guys. Remember, Matt?
Weren't taking pictures yeah. and texting and facing and yeah. whatever yeah. it's called, but whatever.
Well,
all right.
I just think that I even hate to say it. I mean, but you have to play this social game if you want to be popular.
Yeah,
right.
You know, you can still just do your job and be an athlete and be a family guy, have your outside interests and stuff. But now it's just, you know, it's about clicks.
What's
it's
the latest about, click?
Yeah,
no
clicks.
Doubt. But anyway,
you know, and. That was like never me. I mean, I would do the radio stuff and things like that, and that was fun. But it was just like you know, it's kind of a kick in the butt. You know, it was just it was just fun. It wasn't like you know, wasn't getting paid for anything or doing anything like that. It was just fun.
Well, I remember when I used
to. And that was all about money and popularity and clicks.
I remember when I used to do my shows like with Chimera or Leroy Butler or McCarran and the different people mm-hmm. that we had over the year and Yurko and that, but we. We would give our guests, a gift certificate for an oil change.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, think we could get anybody to come out at 10:30 on a Sunday night or 6 o'clock on a Friday morning, man, for an oil change these days for an NFL player?
Oh, my God.
We were trying to get anything we could back then. So, I mean, even after when I retired, I started doing a kind of a weekly maybe a couple times a week radio show with a friend out here. And I was still being paid in gift certificates to
restaurants. Well,
welcome to the world of radio.
I was just going to say, in his defense, right. That's all we can afford. So,
but the good thing was it went up to like $300 a month for you know my favorite Italian place.
Oh, nice. Hey, that's okay. A right. couple right. good meals.
Yeah. That's living the high life.
Oh, yeah. It's closed. COVID kind of killed all my favorite clubs.
Yeah.
So Matt, I mean, yeah. from a playing standpoint, I mean, you went at 6'5", close to 3 bills and whatnot. I know your dad was about the same height as you. When did you think it was the right? When did you think you could take him? And he was drafted in the AFL, NFL, and played like 11 years in Saskatchewan.
I did not know this.
Yeah, Dallas and San Francisco early in his career. Then went to the Canadian League for a long time. And back then, in the Canadian League, you can make the money was more comparable.
There were some number one draft picks that went, like Joe Theismann played in Canada because the money was so much better than what they were offering
Bruce
him.
Clark, you name it. But when did you think you could Bruce take Clark. Your dad, though? I mean, because he was your height, you know, obviously. And
yeah, he, I don't know. I don't think I ever thought I could.
Good. That's
no,
good.
Seriously.
You're a good,
good answer.
My biggest and strongest I was. I know I was bigger than him. I know I was stronger than him, but just always had that dad look in his eye, you know.
Yep.
Is like, it
don't
fear look?
Ask me, boy, you're gonna get the backhand or like that.
Fear me, yeah. Look. So, yeah, that's enough.
So I never really considered it. Now, you know, he's 84 now, and I'm actually at his house right now.
Oh, cool.
But and you know, I'm a grandpa now, and I need a hip replacement, so I'm not taking any.
Welcome to the club. But hip replacements.
I'm saving one for my son.
Good for you.
Hey, I got one last one in me, and that's for him.
Good for you. I guess
like kidneys,
Matt,
right?
When you guys, I remember you guys. It'd be 90 degrees, and you're walking to 2 days to like the second practice, and you know you're going to hit, and you'd been hitting in the mornings, and you're going to hit in the afternoons. What were those days like?
Well, I mean, they were miserable, but you didn't know any different.
Yeah.
Everybody was miserable, right? Everybody's hurting. And I think actually that's part of the coming together as a team.
Sure.
You know, back then, I mean, just because you're going through the same thing, you're all miserable. Nobody really wanted to be there. I don't care what you say. I love football. I love practice in the fall. Oh, BS. That's the worst part about it. But
playing football is fun. Practicing football is not.
Exactly. That's why I always played basketball in high school, because I hated football practice.
Yep, everybody does. At least I think everybody does. Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I think a lot of us, you know, we really came together, and especially because it was a full 6 weeks at camp.
Yeah.
A full, you know, whatever, 3 weeks or whatever, of double days.
Yep.
And there was no, you know, we really didn't go inside in some cool weather. So it made you mentally tough, too. It really did. Not only, you know, the physical beat down, but I think it really made you mentally tough. And when you succeeded then, I mean, even making the team, I mean, that was a real accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, you knew what you could do at the end of that. And then the game started. And, of course, the speed picks up, the intensity picks up. But by that time, you hopefully get a little rest in before the season starts.
You'd like to hope that anyway. I mean, back then, you know, football practice is a lot like basic training. You know, no water, you know, salt tablets, you know, and that era, just you got to be kidding me. But that's what made you tougher, though. You learn how to be resilient, and that carries over, you know, lessons
learned. You know what makes an athlete survive. Really makes an athlete a really good athlete is withholding water.
Yeah. How's your kidneys, by the way, after this game?
Yeah, Johnny, no water, but you can have salt tablets.
Yeah.
Matt, you got to... We love when you guys come on the show, but do you have a favorite? You got a favorite game, a favorite play, a favorite something that you want to? I'm sure you get asked that all the time, and I'm just curious as well.
You know, something I think back on that. The one thing, I think it was one of the ones that stands out. There's two. The first one was my first sack in the NFL, which was in my second year. You know, it was against the Bears in Green Bay.
We like that.
And it was against, you know, Keith Van Horn, the... You know, part of the 85 Bears, you know, Super Bowl team. Yeah. And then, maybe a couple of interceptions, like when I used to drop into coverage from those. And I intercepted Randall Cunningham in Green Bay, intercepted Bledsoe when I was with the Jets. Wow. And, those would probably stand out the most.
Yeah, that's cool.
You were one of those.
You know, everything, we were a two-gap defense, so we really didn't have anything exciting to do as a D lineman except just control two gaps and, you know, not move.
But you played all the gaps, though. I mean, that had been a little something. I mean, you went from right D, you know, you played inside, you played left, you know. You played all, you know, all the different slots and whatnot. So,
No, that's true. As I got bigger, I went further inside.
Yeah, right. I mean, you came out of college, I mean, I'm guessing probably in your 280s or something, and got about three bills later, but you still are quick as a beast. Uh-oh. You were less than that?
I came out at about 260.
Okay, that's fair. I was trying to get you credit for the dub.
Okay.
You looked like 265, 270 coming out of college. But fast, though. I mean, fast and powerful. And
I was pretty quick. When I was in college, I ran a 4.72.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that was 250 pounds.
You had a good pass rush, though.
And then I got to Green Bay, and they wanted me. I was at the end of my first.
Hey Matt, we got to send her a quick. Break. We'll be back in 1 minute, okay?
No problem.
One minute. Matt Brock joining us. Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mirror on Football Friday. We're talking with Matt Brock, former Green Bay Packer defensive end, defensive tackle. They moved him around a lot of different places. Brought to you by Burkle's, one block over. Great place to go watch the ball game. And if you're a special person there, ask him for a muffaletta. I'm telling you, he can make a muffaletta like nobody's business.
Is that on a car?
No, it's not on a car.
Is that a girl's name?
Is that
Cuban sandwich? It's phenomenal.
It is.
No, actually, it's a New Orleans sandwich.
Yes, we date there on the last Friday, Saturday, and his daughter works there, and she's great. So we can maybe ask for her as the
for a wish. Special muffaletta.
But everybody's so friendly over there.
We are building her up. We do.
We're gonna get Matt back on right here. Got disconnected for a quick second, but I want to talk to him about that 1 year that was really, really special. Matt, you there? Hey, buddy.
I am.
Yeah. Okay, Matt. We're talking about big games, big times. I still think of that '89 season with really, really, really fond memories because nobody was expecting much and you guys came together. I know that was your rookie year, but I still think of a game that is very underrated. You guys going out to San Francisco, taking on Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and the whole bunch, eventual Super Bowl champs, and you guys beat them. You guys physically beat them up in that game. How does that one stand out in your mind?
That was a lot of fun to be a part of, but I was actually on IR at that point.
Oh, okay. But yeah, still, wasn't that point. Something what they did in that game defensively?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. I mean, that's my head was still a little bit spinning, kind of being a rookie, you know, and being in Candlestick Park and all that stuff. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, I think the team did, you know, did a heck of a lot more than people thought we would. And I think Mikowski had a lot to do with that. Timmy Harris, you know, some of the older guys, the offensive line, the Brian Noble on defense, you know. We had Chuck Cecil. You know, I can name a lot of guys that I think were really valuable, really good players.
That team was close, wasn't it, Matt? That team, if they had stuck together and injuries hadn't happened the way they had and some contract holdouts and things, that team was close to being really a contender, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. I think we had a few teams during that time that, you know, could have been some playoff teams, but you know how it was back then. It just didn't quite happen. We ran into a couple buzzsaws like Barry Sanders and stuff.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. What was that like trying to chase him down? What was that like? Okay, you shed your blocker and you're face to face with Barry Sanders. Mm-hmm. Go take it from there.
Good luck.
Well, and then you better take your shot.
Yeah.
And then understanding that you're going to miss probably, but you better get your butt up off the ground because the other guy's going to miss and he's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
You know, we held the Detroit Lions to -1 yard rushing in the entire game. And I can't really remember which year it was, but we 91? Played what we called the picket fence defense. And we just kept Barry Sanders just running sideways.
Wow.
He could run all he wanted sideways, but we would never let him get upfield.
What year was that?
And I didn't... Oh, my gosh.
93?
Could have been 93, 92, something like that. I can't remember, but we all got a plaque.
I remember that.
I still have it. Yeah. And so that was probably one of, as a team, defensive team, for sure, that was one of the biggest accomplishments we've had, I think. I mean, guess, I don't know, who holds Barry Sanders to -1 yard?
That's pretty cool.
94.
Yeah. 94 it was. Okay.
94, okay.
So, Matt, I got to ask you, here, you know, that was 94, and here we are in 2024. What do you think of the game today? Do you follow it? Are you into it? You got...
I definitely follow. I don't watch teams. Of course, I watch the Packers, but I like to watch my Ducks in the NFL. Oh, so, I'm into college football a lot, so I really follow all the former Ducks and which, you know, teams they're playing for, and, you know, I like to watch that. But, yeah, I'm still a fan of it. The way the game's played now, I mean, I would have not been such a meat and potatoes guy and probably stayed a little leaner and quicker, you know. But I think, you know, there's just some amazing athletes out there now. I mean, big fellas that are 320, 330, they can move like in a 5-yard box or quick as cats.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how big these guys are.
You know, I read an article about somebody who was talked to a ref, and he said, boy, these guys, the way you protect quarterbacks these days, isn't that crazy? I mean, my goodness. And he said, no, you don't understand. He says, you got to be on the field. You have to see the size and speed of these guys going after quarterbacks. We're trying to prevent anything really catastrophic because physically what they're bringing to the ball game these days, these defensive people, is something we've never seen before.
Yeah. No, they're just all amazing athletes and fast and strong. It's like if you've never been courtside at an NBA game and actually seen these guys and feel the wind blow as they go past you.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah. I love it when some guy in the stand says, yeah, if I hadn't hurt my knee in high school, I'd be out there.
Yeah, sure, sure. Matt, you know what I think is cool about football? And as much as it's changed, and we talked about changes with salaries and facilities, but it's still really strengthens a great relationship between a father and a son to talk about football. I did that with my dad, and it's pretty cool to hear that you're out there in Oregon with your dad. I'm sure you guys take a lot of football.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, and then my son, I coached. So after I retired and screwed around for a little bit, I started doing a lot of coaching in high school football. And so I was always around, you know, young men and trying to drop some knowledge on them and, you know, at that, by that point, you know, I had really good technique and a few things that I like to do. And so it was really fun to mentor a young guy, coach a young guy, and see him, you know, develop the right way in the game. And then I had a chance to, you know, coach my own son in high school before concussions and other things, brain tumors and stuff like that. But so, yeah. And then I was, you know, part of my daughter's volleyball career. And so, yeah, I've always just stuck around the sports, always loved it. Can't do much of it anymore. But, yeah, it really does strengthen that father, let's just say, child bond. You know, because of my daughter, you know, she's a
athlete. Right. Yes, I meant father. Father Sibley, yeah, that's what I meant. Hey, Matt, that's great.
We've only got 1 minute left, but I got to ask one last question. If you had all the Green Bay Packer players you ever played with and you had to start up a brand new team or whatever, who's that first guy you would draft if they were all lined up against the wall?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. You know, this is going to sound odd, but I'd say James Campen.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah. Plan B guy.
Yeah. Smart, strong, worked his butt off to get where he was. And it all started. I built a team from the inside out.
Outstanding. Well, Matt Brock, thank you so very much for joining us. Love you, man. You're the best.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm going to the Minnesota game next week.
All right. Look me up. Wow. Let's get together.
All right, Matt. Hope to see you here.
Take care.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
App today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Oh, yes. Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to Matt Brock for joining us. Time now for our music series brought to you by, Dennis, I believe it's brought to you by the Heights Pub and Parlor
Street. Our friends at Heights Pub and Parlor are proud to offer an array of delicious food, beverages, and top-notch service in a stunning setting right here in beautiful downtown Green Bay at 217 North Washington Street, as you mentioned. Whether it's a signature pressed panini.
Which, by the way, I had a panini earlier this week. I had the turkey one.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Nice.
And then we had the wonton wrappers with the cream cheese and the spinach.
Oh, I love those.
Ooh. What kind of sauce did you have on your turkey panini?
I didn't have any sauce. You don't
blame.
No, I don't put any sauce on that.
Nah. Some people like mayo. Some people like a brownish mustard or...
No, I like the actual true flavor of the food, if you know what I'm saying.
Picking up what you're laying down.
You know what I bought, though, that I actually... This sounds weird. Olive mayonnaise.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, olive flavored mayonnaise. It's
like
delicious. Because I love hamburgers with olives and mayonnaise together, mm-hmm. and it's got that same flavor.
Huh. Yeah. Heinz has a pickle ketchup now. It's fantastic.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
So whether it's, you know.
And I just think that olive mayonnaise, I'm not there yet. I would rather have mayonnaise and then put olives on.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
But I've never seen olive mayonnaise before.
You start putting the stuff together, you lose a little bit of the
romance, the
punch that it has. But I get what you're saying. Same thing with you just said about the pickle relish stuff. I'm going to make my own relish.
It's pickle ketchup, right?
Yeah, pickle ketchup.
That's what I meant, pickle ketchup. But anyway.
I think it's just pickle juice, really, is all you pour in it, really.
Yeah, probably.
It's just, it comes out more watery, I suppose.
What else do they have at the Heights?
All right. So, others, press paninis, we mentioned.
But thank you for that, Jim.
A prime Angus burger for lunch, because it was just burger day yesterday. Our specialty large plate or feature for dinner, let Heights be your destination. So, if you're looking to host a private event or a party, Heights provides the best ambiance and space with their second-story private parlor.
It's fantastic.
And a third-story loft.
Fantastic.
Beautiful views of downtown from there.
Fantastic. Yes. If you guys have some kind of a meeting for whatever club.
We do. It's great. And the ambiance is right. I mean, it was Oxford's way back in the day, and they just kept everything original there.
One of those old buildings in Green Bay they didn't tear down, and they rehabbed it.
Thank goodness.
I also have to tell you guys something, and I can't give too many details. But, you know, we're planning your anniversary party for the Heights. So that'll be coming up in the next several months.
Surprise! Really? Nice! Yeah.
Yep.
You ours?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to have a little party for you guys.
Me and him?
Yeah.
That just happened.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
So for more information, check out
Facebook. We're going to get the bill.
We're in a day-to-day contract.
Yeah, we are. That's not a surprise. Don't book it out too far.
Yeah, I was going to say, really? That's optimistic.
So go to heightsgb.com or Heights Pub and Parlor online or Facebook and whatnot and book your parties there.
I have to add one thing. Going out, sometimes the service isn't, and Heights is always stellar on the service.
Absolutely.
And I want to say that because it's tough to get good employees. It's tough to retain good employees. And for whatever, they do it right there. And I love it. The people there are so friendly.
They tailor the business model to who they have. And that's fantastic.
Well, maybe we should bring on our featured performer then for the Heights Pub and Parlor segment.
Hey, it's about that time, ladies and gentlemen.
Take it away, brother.
So this gentleman needs no introduction, but I'm going to let him do the introduction anyway. Because why? I say it because you have, I guess, a northern... European last name.
I do.
And for those who don't keep score at home, how do you pronounce that?
Well, my given Christian name is Tyler Sjostrom.
Sjostrom.
S-J-O-S-T-R-O-M. With an
H. With a J. I mean, it sounds like an H, but
like
it's a
show,
J.
Go to a show, strum a guitar.
Beautiful. Love
what nationality is that?
Swedish.
Oh!
But believe it or not, there's another... So I... On my socials and streamers, I go by Tyler SJ. And the reason for that is that there's another Tyler Sjostrom who's a musician.
No!
From Chicago.
Yeah, what are
great
the odds?
Guys.
What?
Great guy.
You don't look Swedish.
Yeah.
You don't look Swedish.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of brunettes.
Are there?
Yeah.
I think of every Swedish being blonde.
You see all
you
the
look
girls
Italian
in swimsuits and beach volleyball players. We're not all like that.
Ah, okay.
But did you see the Olympic swimmer who had the same last name? Sarah Sjostrom?
No!
One for the family. I was so excited.
Well, you're a relative?
I imagine distantly.
Sure.
That's cool.
First cousins, just drop it. We don't fact check.
If that was me or Jim, it'd be like, hey, my sister was in the Olympics.
Right. Did you see her?
One for the family.
And I just, one more plug for the family. Your father-in-law is an awesome guy.
Isn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
We were talking before the show. My father-in-law that worked for the coal company, president of the coal company, and he said nothing but good things about you.
And it was great working with him. And it's, anyway.
Mark Cummings is his name. Happy, happy retirement to the guy.
I'm not sure the words... coal piles and Jim Schmidt and likes you. Have you ever been used in the same sentence before?
We were working together. We're trying. Common ground. That's right.
Life is good, man.
Well, welcome. We're glad you're here.
I'm excited
about getting you on the show here. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about how you got started in the industry. And I know you're doing really well now.
Yeah. So I was kind of a late bloomer. I picked up a guitar after college.
Wow.
When I moved to Oregon, didn't have any friends. And so I was like, I'm going to learn to play guitar. And so I... kind of like, you know, it's a slow process. You kind of get a little bit better. And I started gigging a little bit, got in a band. We were moved to northern Wisconsin in about 2009 or 10, right around the Super Bowl. And then started a band called The Relics. We played the Milo Musics and all that. And then I was out of music for several years. And then like about 3 years ago, I got sober. And that was a real catalyst to getting back in. Like I'd kind of given it up and was playing weddings and crap, but wasn't really pushing myself at all.
Can I just say something here? Dennis mentioned a little something earlier. Because I said, Dennis, because we were talking about people drinking for the game and whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't drink. And you said, very little because it got in the way of your music, right?
Sure. It got in the way of doing what you do physically. You
okay.
know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it had just gotten away from me. I've got young kids and a wife and stuff. It's like, it wasn't like I quit drinking so I could start music again.
Right,
it wasn't
right, but...
not, totally unrelated, but just like, you got a lot of time on your hands all of a sudden. You got a bunch of guitars and like, so I just decided to give another shot. And like, it was really kind of like one foot in front of the other. Like, I read a couple more songs and then I got in touch with the Milo Music people again. That kind of got me going.
Awesome.
And so then just kind of over the last like year, things have picked up again and it's been really fun.
Good for you.
Congrats to you. That's
Thank
awesome.
You
just mentioned that we know some similar people, you know, which
all
is interesting. It's a small world after all.
Yeah.
You know some people I went to high school with in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, I'm a huge fan of the glam band.
Sorry about that.
No, I mean, I'm not even talking ironically. I love that genre of music and I think you guys do it really well. So I
appreciate you saying
the presence of greatness.
What are you guys laughing at? What are you laughing
President
for?
Greatness. We, you two. What we love about the glam band, besides Dennis, of course, and of course he was the vocalist
of the year. The whammies.
We love what they bring to the show. That it's they give it all. And I used to work a little bit in that industry, and some people do, and some people don't. Some phone it in. So I would agree with you that you are in the presence of greatness. So
don't take it so hard.
How about you? You're playing a solo now? Or are you still with the?
Yeah. So I put out an album in April that's been just tearing up the charts in Northeast Wisconsin.
Love it.
And so that was the solo thing, and like. since then, I've started playing more band gigs. Milo Music was a band thing. My band, so like I said, my social name is Tyler SJ. We were Tyler and the SJs.
Oh, man. Okay. What's that like standing? I've introduced bands at Milo Music.
Sure.
And that's the only time I've gotten a little nervous, like, almost like my knees wanted to knock. Looking at what seems to be a million people staring back at you.
Oh, that wasn't my show.
Okay.
We had a good crowd.
But that's quite the venue, isn't it?
Yeah,
for the people that come out to that.
And especially last year, because I was just getting back in. And I hadn't... So, like, those are some of the first gigs I'd played was before last Milo Music. And I also was not used to playing sober all that much.
Wow.
You know, so like it was.
You're really honest about that, aren't you?
Well, it's not that big of a deal.
No. But it's still cool that you're that honest about it.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
That so you obviously do your, if you're in Milo Music, it's original music.
Yeah.
So you're
gotta
a writer, composer.
Well, right. Then let's hear some.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, come on. Enough BS in here.
After,
let's get to work.
Right.
We got to work when they come in here, right, Dennis?
I don't know what
they got to work for their free T-shirt they get.
And free parking.
Exactly.
Yeah, I brought you guys free T-shirts, too.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
like swag.
I can't. It has my face on it. I know mileage varies on wearing other guys' face on your chest, but
we'll take it.
Shirt is very comfortable.
I think it's impressive, by the way, taking the time off, coming back in, and to pull off Mile of Music where you have original artists, and I mean of all different of all different recording contracts, or independent and otherwise, and I mean that's the level to be at. So to come back to do that as you're doing,
be allowed in.
It takes.
Yeah, and they asked me back. Can you believe it?
I know, but I mean, that's not just the kind of place you can just walk in and say, no. I'll perform on Sunday.
I don't know
what
the Swedish word for chutzpah is, but you got it,
exactly.
Brother.
I guess so. Can you hear me all right in the booth?
All right.
This is a song called Take Me Dancing, by the way.
Though no one was asking, said, guess what I'm thinking? That answer before he could respond. Said, no clothes seem to fit, and I'd hate if they did. And all our best friends have moved on. A bird knows its cage, just gets more cramped with age. Good thing we're humans, he said. You know what I mean? Some days I could just scream. Know what I'm thinking instead. She said, just take me dancing where nobody knows us. Nobody cares who we are. I'm so sick of this city, and the clock just keeps spinning, and the thermos is full in the car. I don't care where we land, jukebox or band. Find us that last neon light. All that I'm asking is just take me dancing tonight. Just a water for me, Bud Light for my lady. And he shuddered when he said it that way. And despite years of practice, the rhythm he lacked was worth the price of admission, she'd say. One flip of her hair, same way that she used to, back when these old songs were new. I'll be hurting tomorrow, but it's so far away. One more before our curfew. Won't you just take me dancing where nobody knows us, nobody cares who we are. I'm so sick of this city, and the clock just keeps spinning, and the thermos is full in the car. I don't care where we land, jukebox or band, find us that last neon light. All that I'm asking is just take me dancing tonight. Shoulder heading back toward the city. The radio murmurs and purrs. Here's one by request. Just don't stop believing. He reaches for the dial but demurs. Back before bills and dishes, they stacked all their wishes. Us against the world, ain't that right? Takes her hand as she's sleeping, the top of his lungs, searching somewhere in the night. Won't you just take me dancing where nobody knows us, nobody cares who we are. I'm so sick of this city, and the clock just keeps spinning, and the thermos is full in the car. I don't care where we land, jukebox or bed, find us that last neon light. All that I'm asking, all that I'm asking, all that I'm asking is just take me dancing tonight.
Tyler, that's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Wow. That's great. I will say we get musicians near you. You deserve to sing alone. I mean, you are. I almost can't see a band behind you. You Johnny said, isn't that kind of a James Taylor thing? And you're a lot better looking than James Taylor. But
I'm a big fan of James.
You sound like James
you do.
Taylor. No, first thing I said, is that Jim Taylor? I'm trying to think, you know, who I'm hearing
right.
here.
No, that
sound like
you.
James Taylor.
Yeah. Did you write that?
I did.
Wow. That's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, take it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't give it up again.
I'm not gonna. My kids love it.
The thing that was really synergistic about the music is how you put your voice with that song.
Right.
To me, it's so versatile. You can make that song into kind of any style that you want. Your voice and the guitar sound itself.
Thanks.
You know, that's beautiful.
Yeah. When I wrote that, like I was just getting done with the album, and it was the last song I wrote.
Okay.
Like that album was kind of down.
Tyler S.J., we're going to be right back. I want to talk to you about who influenced you too.
Sure.
That is great music.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Tell you what, the Heights Pub and Parlor, you picked a good segment to sponsor. These guys are awesome. Right, Dennis?
Can confirm.
Got to send in a quick break. We'll be back more with Dennis from the Glam Band, myself, the mayor, and Tyler S.J. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor, Dennis from the Glam Band, and Tyler S.J. on the Heights Pub and Parlor musical segment.
Tyler, again, we're just talking at break too. Great music.
Thank you.
Influenced by some artists that you like, Springsteen and Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, I think my, as a song, like songwriters all have kind of like their touch points. I really love Bruce Springsteen. I really love Tom Petty. He's a popular one, obviously. Amos Lee, who's a more contemporary.
Yeah.
And love Amos Lee.
Music, and I spend a little bit of time in Nashville, and when they give you the tour of all the beautiful homes, a lot of it, it's the writers.
Yeah. I hope so.
That's where the money is. I just talk a little bit more about the writing of the music, and you like to perform your own music,
yeah.
But you're okay with selling it too?
Yeah, I mean, my background is more in writing, actually. I was an English major in college. I read a column for the Appleton Monthly magazine. It's on the back page 10 years or so now.
Cool.
But so I write kind of, you know, I feel like I'm kind of writerly in my approach to music too. And I think, you know, I know what my limitations are. Guitar is probably my limitation. You know, like I can write better than I can play probably.
Well, that's great.
You're sounding good from here.
You're really smooth with the chord changes and what have you. My gosh. I mean,
you guys were talking though about like, you guys obviously do cover type things.
Sure.
Yeah.
But your acoustics, are some of that original? Your acoustic show?
No, not yet. We do just all cover stuff.
Okay, yeah. But what's the difference when it comes to performing phenomenal music and trying to write your own music to sound cool? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean,
you
kind of walk without a safety net, aren't you, when you're doing that?
Yeah.
Always, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, for a solo acoustic guy, you probably start at almost 100% covers.
Okay.
You know, you're going to cut, like, especially if you're like not someone who's known at all, you're going to play almost all covers.
Okay.
Sneak in a couple songs.
Okay.
Maybe don't even mention it because people are going to go get a cigarette, you know, and then
they'll say code word. Let's play stuff from our new album. Code word for let's go get a beer.
Exactly.
Let's go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And I've always thought that you kind of need a few like true believers, like people who are like fans of yours who will share all your stuff and listen to all your stuff and actually care about it kind of beyond.
But you have to know, as an artist, musician, those were all originals too at one time.
Yeah.
You've got to believe that.
Yeah, I do believe that. And like, I always think about like, and I'm sure you guys think about this too. Like I was, you know, I'm in the room when I'm writing a song. I know exactly like I want to. So when I play a song that's years old, I can be back in that headspace and it's kind of fun.
Oh yeah.
So like,
I know what you mean.
You know, so like I always think about, you know, and this isn't a knock against cover artists. I'm thinking more that like, when if you take a song like "Hurt" by Nine Inch Nails, and like Johnny Cash's yeah. version. It's a different song right. as a cover. Not saying it's better or worse, but it's a different right. song. Johnny Cash wasn't in the room.
I'll throw another example. One of my all-time favorite songs, Sound of Silence by Disturbed.
Oh, sure.
Sure, yep. Unbelievable and, performance. Yeah.
And so it's all interpretation, I think.
You know, we got a great text I wanted to mention on Facebook. Tyler SJ, one of the area's best singer-songwriters. If you aren't familiar with him and his music, do yourself a favor. Check out his album or any one of his live shows.
Well, that's sweet.
Let's talk about
Isn't
that.
Awesome.
How do we get your
right?
Music?
Let's yeah. talk about it. Yeah, yeah. You're talented. I mean, I like this kind
Don't
of.
Don't be
music.
So surprised, Jim.
Just kidding. I'll follow you now. You're right. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to ask.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So this weekend I'll be at Prime Elites over by
right.
Cecil Bonduelle area.
Gillette kind of, isn't it?
What's that?
Gillette area.
Yeah, Gillette. That's
yeah.
right.
Yep.
And then Sunday I'll be at Hop Yard Brewing. Or Hop Yard Ale House on Northland and Appleton, kind of during the Packer game. Next Thursday is a good one. My friend Kurt Gunn. Have you guys ever talked to Kurt Gunn, by the way?
We haven't had him in.
No, I know who he is.
Yeah, Kurt is, I believe he's Tony Canadeo's grandson.
Okay.
Or great-grandson, okay. something like that. Right. And true. So, I mean, you like, and the nice thing about musicians in Appleton is we all know football, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, he's putting out a double album or two separate albums actually on Thursday and doing a double release show that I'm playing, kind of opening with a couple other guys.
Wow, cool.
But he should play over at Burkle's One Block Over because that's Canadeo Drive. We need the street
good
after
point.
His grandpa.
He's incredible. There's a lot of great music in North
well. I mean, this has really opened our eyes when you guys come in. And I just find it, literally, I get goosebumps a lot of times being this close to you guys, watching you guys perform and watching that kind of talent, and especially with some of the guys, like the bluegrass guys mm-hmm. with how hard they work finger-wise.
Nick Gonnering.
He's
incredible. Yeah.
Isn't that something to watch those?
Yeah. And the musician, the contact that they have, they're reading each other.
Yes.
You know?
It's a fun thing, and that's part of the fun of being in a band, honestly, versus... Yeah.
Jim always has to ask a musician one question.
Yeah.
How much did you make? No, what did I ask them?
Who inspired them? Who's the person?
Oh, yeah, I want to know who inspired. Because I think sometimes you were very fortunate. You grew up in a very musical family. And right. was that your inspiration? But some people, it's their band teacher. It's somebody met down the block, an uncle.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so my family is extremely musical. I think there's a friend of mine from North Dakota. His name is Ben Suki, who's like, it's really cool when you see someone who you know personally, and then you see them doing incredible things with a guitar that you're like, hey, my guitar is nicer than that guitar. Right. Why is he able to do that? And I think one of the first things that happens is you write a song and you like it and other people like it. And so that's kind of a big confidence boost.
You bet.
But I think lately, like most of my inspirations are all local. Like I really like I said, Kurt Gunn, Michael Grabner, Brad Bardini, Amelia Ford, some great musicians.
That's great.
We got about 90 right. seconds. Can you take us out with something?
Close our week for us.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Mine and the Mayor, Dennis from the Glam Band. Always such a great pleasure having you here.
Thank you, guys.
And Tyler SJ is sending us out. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody.
Tyler SJ, you got a website or something we can tech in?
Where do we get you?
www.tyler-sj.com. And then on the socials and streamers is Tyler SJ.
All right.
Tyler SJ.
Awesome. Wanted the apartment put in her name, an inch away the moment that she signed. Big words so full of small ideas, and confidence that wasn't his. Don't worry, babe, we'll put the car in mine. It said before no living thing could keep, like that was something normal people say. The last one there, first to go, and dying fire and dim and glow, wouldn't let her words get in the way. She said, this getting old is getting old. You said yourself, the hands you hold are for security and for show, but not the truth. And hanging on ain't hanging on. If everything we're standing on, the circumstances only known to you. You say that all you want is out in California. I think you only want what you can't see. I wish that I could say.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.